Warner Brothers will finally be awarded a patent of a system from a 2014 video game. But did you know how many other seemingly obviously gaming concepts are locked up in patents? Tonight is January 31st, 2021, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O'Kay says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
That's right, hello. It's that time again. We've almost made it through the first 12th of 2021. Hello, everybody. And welcome to the last January 2021 edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on Twitch, welcome. Head on over to our Twitch channel if you are not. If you're on the podcast feed, we do this live each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. That is where I try to read intelligent comments throughout the night. And we are not taking any time off, so there is a television event going on tonight that some people are watching. We usually go through those. Those are only available on pay-per-view anyway. But the big television event that's going on next weekend, we're still going to have a show because I'm not going to watch it unless I'm around a whole bunch of other people, and I'm not going to be around a whole bunch of other people right now. So I'm not going to say there's no parties out there. Just my friends aren't holding one, and I'm not going to any other ones. So, yes, we will actually be here next Sunday night here on the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel. But if you can't be here Sunday nights, or if you actually do care, which is perfectly valid, I usually care about what's on TV next week. You are more than welcome to listen to us on the podcast feed and join our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord, throughout the week if you do want to try to influence and talk about things that could be on the show later. So we absolutely welcome that. And Questbus says there's a party right here. Yes, we're going to be your party, and we're going to talk video games next week. And so you can party with us and Orange Lounge Radio next week and talk video games instead of the TV event that's going on next week. One thing we're not going to be talking about on this show tonight, and I kind of wanted to mention this a little bit, just because the reason we're not going to talk about this is because this is not a video game story. But I bet every other video game podcast you listen to is probably talking about this story. But it's not a video game story, and I'm talking about GameStop, which I've called the Evil G for decades now. But it's not a video game story. It's a story about stock market and investing. And I know nothing about any of those things. I have never owned a stock in my life. I've had a 401k once in my past, but I don't have a 401k right now. And so you ask any kind of financial advisor, and they'd say, I'm dumb. I don't know what I'm doing. And you're right. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't really follow it. I get the concepts, but at the core, it's not about video games. They just happen to use a video game retailer. And since that's the case, that's why you're not going to hear me talk about stonks or shorts or, you know, about how it's gaming the system and stuff, and people are treating it like a game, yes. But it's not a video game story, so I won't be talking about it. Fifth Dream asks, what about turnips? I stopped playing Animal Crossing half a year ago, so I don't care about that either right now. And Tiger Claw does say it's weird seeing mainstream media talking about GameStop for all the wrong reasons, a company that is struggling. It is. And that's part of it, is that people are... some of the people that are on Reddit are investing to try to save it, because for a lot of them, GameStop was their childhood, and they have the financial means to try to save it. Same with AMC, the movie theater chain. You know, that's what they're doing it for, and so that's what this is about for them. And to other people, you know, the old guard, it's for about, you know, what are you going to do with your money? This is your money. How are you going to make money off this? And they're like, we don't want to make money off of it. We want to save our childhood. So I get that. Even though I consider them the evil G, I get it. Rob Roberts says, so approaching it, they're going to be talking about it. OLR is going to be talking about it. Approaching it from a well, GameStop was written off and now it's become a meme. Gaming is part of the culture. Manip the turnip. Stuff like that. Fifth Dream says, I never saw a GameStop until I was like 25. Well, I didn't either, but that's because I went to like Electronics Boutique and Software, etc., and then GameStop bought them and then became them. So, yeah. But he also says he was in the Midwest suburbs. I was in a suburb of Atlanta is where I grew up. And he says, wait, I'm old. Maybe they didn't exist yet. They probably didn't. I don't know when like the GameStop chain started, but they bought Funko Land, Electronics Boutique, and Software, etc. And that those became GameStop. So if you had any of those near you, they became GameStop. And in fact, my mall at the time had both a Software, etc. and an Electronics Boutique. I went to the Software, etc. That was my store. And when GameStop bought both of them, they turned the Electronics Boutique into the GameStop because it was close to the entrance, and now the old Software, etc. is a Claire's. And I'm like, that's so weird, like seeing like it's all pink inside, and I'm like, I spent a lot of time in there. ActDeft also does a podcast. His is in Spanish, so I don't listen to it because I'm not that great at my Spanish. He said they didn't talk about it either, but mostly because they don't have a GameStop down there in Mexico, but it's a really interesting topic. It is, and it would be really interesting for somebody who knows what they're talking about. That ain't me. So we're going to talk about video games. And actually, behind me here on the Twitch feed, you probably notice I've got, for seemingly no reason, Final Fantasy VII for the PlayStation. And that's because it's January 31st. And January 31st, 1997, is when Final Fantasy VII came out in Japan. A lot of people's first ever Final Fantasy. It came out in Japan. It wasn't out in America yet, but it came out in Japan on January 31st, 1997. So I have some Squaresoft stuff behind me. I've got a Final Fantasy VII thing. Also, what happened on this day in 2007 is that a whole bunch of these guys showed up in Boston, and I'm pointing to a picture of the Aqua Teen Hunger Force Mooninites. A bunch of these LED strips showed up in Boston, and they thought they were bombs and shut down the entire dang city. And then Turner had to pay like $2 million to the city of Boston for the inconvenience of people thinking that these things that were like put up in like 10 other cities. They Boston thought they were bombs and they shut down everything. That also happened on January 31st, 2007. And so the moon rules number one. Rob Roberts talking about GameStop. When Alan and I first got together, we took a road trip to Oregon and went to the mall to enjoy shopping with no tax, because that's Oregon. They also can't pump their own gas there, but that's a whole other thing. And I was so excited because they still had a Software, etc. branded store and a GameStop on the other side of the mall. But I bought a game there just for the sake of buying a game at Software, etc. in my 30s with no sales tax. I was a Software, etc. person. That was my hangout spot because the mall was right by my office. And so I would go to the mall for lunch and, you know, eat at the food court and then go hang out at the Software, etc. It was fun until they didn't sell enough reservations and subscriptions, so they sacked the manager and like half the employees, and like then the corporate and the district manager came in, and like the entire tone in there changed because they were trying to push pre-orders on me, and I'm like, this kind of sucks. So then I stopped. Then I grew up and didn't go to the mall for lunch that much anymore because then I started working from home. Anyway. We can reminisce about video game retail stores. That is within the scope of the podcast, but their stock, not so much. So one of the things I like to do is I do like to try to read comments from previous episodes, either from our Discord or over at VogNetwork.com. And E3VL wanted to comment about my story, main story last week, which was about Apple finally inventing VR and AR. And he wants to point out that Apple Pippin and the Macintosh TV did not kickstart a new console generation of smart TVs. And because what I was saying is that, you know, technology finally gets popular once Apple invents it. And that's kind of been was my angle for this is that nobody cared about touchscreen tablets until the iPad came out, even though Microsoft had them 10 years earlier, and nobody wanted them. Nobody wanted a touchscreen phone that had no buttons until the iPhone came out. Nobody wanted a portable music player until the iPod came out. Like there were some like the Creative Zen series and stuff, but it was really the iPod that started that revolution. So he's saying, well, you know, here's some things that they didn't do well. So it's like, but it's kind of like saying like, well, Nintendo can't do any, you know, Nintendo doesn't know how to innovate anymore. Do you remember the Virtual Boy? And I'm like, yeah, but there's like so many other things they got. Like they have more hits than misses, and Apple's the same way. And he says, but yeah, recently they've been trendsetters, and we're living in the now. We're not living in the 1990s or the 1980s. So just because Apple didn't succeed in some of their innovations in the early 2000s doesn't mean that that's still the same in 2021. But he says, for VR, virtual reality to catch on, I think it has to be affordable, and marketing must show that it could be integrated into everyday life, which I agree with. The cost of entry for VR is pretty high right now. However, getting an Oculus Quest 2 is cheaper than the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X right now. So you can get into VR for less than the price of getting into the new console generation. So it's getting there. Now, integrating with everyday life, that's going to be a harder sell. And I don't know what's that's going to take. But what E3VL here says, that's kind of interesting, is that he says, for me, every time Apple reaches the video game portion of the keynotes, I roll my eyes and take a restroom break. Then how do you know what they introduce? Like, that's my question. It's like, if you roll your eyes and you go away, of course you're not going to be interested in what they're saying because you never see it. It's kind of like taking an article about something and like posting it and then stating that the article is about how a company can't make games well because they don't have any smart developers and all the developers don't know what they're doing, when the article itself actually says that they brought on developers that knew what they were doing, but management said, no, we can't do it your way. It's kind of like doing that. You know, it's like, I'm going to, you know, here's this. I'm going to walk away now. Apple Arcade, a lot of people actually do like Apple Arcade. And so if you roll your eyes at it, that's fine. But it's kind of funny to go in through and say, I never watch the video game stuff and I'm bored by it. So how do you even know? The answer is probably I look it up later and then I realize that I was right for taking a bathroom break. Our main story tonight, I'm now going down to just one story to see if maybe I can keep it in a 20-minute time frame. We're going to see. Our main story tonight is not about the stock market side of American government, but rather the patent office side. Because I went down this little rabbit hole earlier today, and I'm going to take all the rest of y'all down this rabbit hole with me, because I've talked about this before, but I did not realize how much this was affecting and everything, and how normal this is in video games. And I'm talking about patents, which is the idea of making something yours, making a process of something yours and your company's, which it really was made for, like physical inventions is really what it's for, and for pharmaceutical and medical inventions, you know, patenting how to create a specific vaccine, for instance. That's what the patent is for. It's so you can get a chance to bring it to market and use it before other people copy you. And that's why patents, once you've applied for them, they last for 20 years. Because in the physical world, once you patent something, then you've got to, you know, produce it, you know, have it go through regulatory trials and things like that. So really, a 20-year patent on something, especially in the medical industry, that probably means you only have the exclusivity on it for 5 years after it's out, because it's going to take you 10 to 15 years for the R&D, to create it, to produce it, to get it approved by regulators and stuff like that. But we also have software patents that have the exact same life cycle, and 20 years is an eternity in software development. Fifth Dream says, can I patent people just giving me lots of money for no reason? Then I can get people to patent give me lots of money for no reason. Well, you can patent something, and then they have to give you lots of money for no reason. Because people have done this. There was a company, and this is not about video games, but there was a company that patented the process of sending a physical document over email. They patented that process. Now, this process included something that infringed on the patent was taking a piece of paper, going to a scanner, scanning it as a PDF, and then attaching that PDF to an email. That violated their patent, and they actually sued several businesses, small businesses usually, for violating their patent, that said you can license our patent because they patented the process. They did lose that patent, by the way. This was an old thing. And Questpress says you could be a patent troll, a company that buys up dead companies for their patents and hoards them in the hope that someday someone will infringe on them. Yeah, a lot of times they'll create a patent and then, you know, not do anything with it. And then when somebody else creates it, it's like, oh, nope, that was ours. That was our idea. Thank you for creating it, but that was our idea. Somebody patented podcasting, or rather the process of delivering an audio file over the internet through a scheduled process. Basically, they patented the idea of attaching an audio file to an RSS feed. And they were suing a whole bunch of podcasters, like Adam Carolla and all them. And they did finally get their – Spatial Audio was the company. They did finally get their patent thrown out and stuff like that. But in video games and software patents, we've had some that are gone now, and we've got a new one that's been in the making for 6 years. And I'm actually talking about Warner Brothers, and it's from the 2014 game Middle Earth: Shadow of Mordor. What they actually finally got granted a patent for is the critically acclaimed Nemesis system. The revelation came in the latest video by the superb YouTube series Game Maker's Toolkit, which analyzes how the Nemesis system works. The Nemesis system, developed by a member of staff at Kirkland, Washington-based studio Monolith Productions, tracks the player's in-game actions to create enemies who are seemingly capable of remembering your encounters, rising through the ranks, and exacting revenge. As Christian Dolan wrote on the villain generator back in 2017, die to an orc, and an orc that offed you will grow stronger and might get a promotion. Quote, it allows what might be a repetitive game to become a wonderfully chuggy pleasure. There is a corrugated kind of grind on offer here as you alternate between learning, killing, and dying, at which point the entire system skips forward and becomes more complex in ways that require more learning, more killing, and yet more dying, unquote. The patent, which was originally filed in March of 2016, is dubbed Nemesis Characters, Nemesis Forts, Social Vendettas, and Followers in Computer Games, and is now assigned to Warner Brothers Entertainment. Its current status listed as pending, but there is reason to believe that the application will be granted. So according to the patent listing, the United States Patent and Trademark Office issued a final rejection in November of 2019, but Warner Brothers stuck to its guns, and in October of 2020, a notice of allowance was issued. This indicates Warner was able to overcome the rejections, and the USPTO believes that the invention qualifies for a patent. So it seems just a matter of time that Warner Brothers would get its Nemesis patent 6 years after it first applied for it, and if it does, it could be set to return in some form in a Middle-earth game or any other Warner Brothers game for that matter. The revelation of the Nemesis patent has certainly sparked a debate about the rights and wrongs of Warner Brothers' actions here. Observers are also wondering whether Warner Brothers' attempt to patent the Nemesis system is why we can't have a similar system in other games. And this writer has seen some insist that it should be impossible to patent video game mechanics. Obsidian design director Josh Sawyer wrote on Twitter, quote, if you take someone's design and make a better version of it, you should be given a trophy and a triumph through the streets, and the people who made the previous version should applaud you and say, wow, that's really cool, unquote. HDI Andrew asks, can I patent turning cards sideways? You can try. I'd like to see you try that. Fitzream says, I'm cool. I'm now the patent troll, CEO of Patent Troll LLC. Paleonimea says, patent for the song Happy Birthday was the poster child for patent abuse. That was not a patent. That's copyright. That's different than patents. As much as much as we don't want to admit it, copyrights and patents are two different things, and they're both bad in their own right, especially with how long copyrights last for 70-something years. Patents at least only last for 20 years. Questmaster says somewhere John Carmack's getting a migraine at the mention of software patents. Exactly, yes. So what this patent is, and I actually found the patent and looked it up, and I actually don't think I've got it sitting here, but if it was applied for in 2015, that means this Nemesis system that they describe is 2035. That's how long the patent will last, is until 2035. So nobody else can make a system that infringes on this patent. Now, the thing about patents is they have to be extremely specific in order for the patent to be able to be done. So this doesn't mean that you can't have a system that possibly remembers other encounters like this, because Hades does this too, for instance, but not in the same way. You just can't do it in a way that infringes upon this patent. Now, HGI Andrew says, do you know about the Magic the Gathering patent? Tapping is a key part of it. I actually haven't. That's not one of the ones I went down the rabbit hole. Tucker asks, don't they renew patents once before they expire? No, it's not a copyright. You only get it for 20 years. Then other people can make it. That's why we have generics of, well, I'm going back to the medical and the pharmaceutical side of it, but that's why we have generics. Because the original company, Tylenol, only had a 20-year patent on Tylenol. After the 20 years, other companies can come in and make the same thing, and they call it the generic version of Tylenol. They're absolutely able to do that because the patent is expired. What you're thinking about renewing is trademarks. Also done by the USPTO. That's what the T stands for, is trademark. Trademarks you can renew. Patents you cannot, and copyright really you can't, because you have it for like 70-something years or 80-something. However old Mickey Mouse is, that's how long copyrights are. Thank you, Disney. So it is somewhat confusing, and I understand that. There are a lot of video game patents out there that some are expired, and some you can do now, but many are still around. The one that I don't actually have video for and I didn't actually look up but I did remember is that Nintendo patented the D-pad. And that's why nobody else has a D-pad, much like Nintendo's, because Nintendo patented their design for the D-pad for the NES. And so that's why you have like the rocker D-pads and the circle D-pads that you had on like the Saturn and stuff. That's, you know, like you had this weird like Pringle-looking depression on the Saturn. You had just four buttons on the PlayStation DualShock. That was to get around Nintendo's patent of their D-pad. Rob Roberts says, when Kyle Ward was on Orange Lounge Radio a few years ago, he talked about some of the surprising thing Konami patented, which in my opinion, kneecapped music games. Yeah, in fact, Konami patented a lot about the music games, which is why, like on Guitar Hero, you actually see that they paid a licensing fee to Konami to be able to make the game. They actually list that they licensed Konami's patent for Guitar Hero. I remember this from the original Guitar Hero. And a lot of these patents don't mean you can't do it. It just means you have to pay the company that originally did it, and most people don't want to pay that. So here's some of the stuff that I looked up that either some of these are gone. I'm going to actually go through a couple patents that are gone. They've expired, and we can now do them. The first one I'm actually going to show is from Namco, and it is this expired in 2015. It's called Game Inside Loading Screen. So the way they actually explain this, a recording medium, a method of loading games program code in a games machine is provided. The recording medium has a program code relating to an auxiliary game and a program code relating to a main game. The size of the auxiliary game program code is small compared to the size of the main game program code, and the relationship between the auxiliary game program code and the main game program code is such that the auxiliary game program is loaded first before the main game program code. Unnecessarily wastage of time can be prevented by at first loading the smaller auxiliary game program code into the game's machine, blah, blah, blah. So basically, what I'm actually showing here, this is Tekken 2, and you're playing Galaga while Tekken is loading. Namco patented this in 1995, which is why if you probably sat there in the 2000s going, why can't they just put a different game while it's loading? This is why. Namco patented it. Nobody else could do it. So that's why we had a bunch of different ways of doing loading screens, like sitting in an elevator or crawling through a crevice is a loading screen, by the way. They would do things like that in order to not have an actual loading screen. But that one expired in 2015. That was kind of the first one that I was really exposed to, was the Tekken one, or was the loading screen not having a mini game, because I'm like, that's perfectly obvious. That makes perfect sense. Yeah. Quespa says, I could be playing Tekken, but I'm doing really good in Galaga. Another thing they patented, though, which also relates to the Tekkens, is the practice mode here. So this actually expired last year, but in Tekken's practice mode at the bottom, you will actually see that it shows the inputs at the bottom. That was patented until last year, where the actual patent is an objective to provide a game system and program which can simply and easily execute a game operation command having a complicated operation procedure. A command list showing techniques where... each of which is executed normally by manipulating both buttons of a game controller and given operation procedure is displayed to a player. Fishroom says, oh, whoa, I've played a lot of illegal fighting games then. Probably you did. Not really illegal. If they didn't come after you for it, they didn't come after you for it. But, you know, that was something that they had patented. Now, this one that I'm going to be showing is this expired in 2018. This kind of spawned another gaming mechanic that you probably remember. So, let me get this out here. So, at the top of the screen here, I am showing Crazy Taxi. There's two patents from this game, or one patent that has two things from this game. One is Crazy Taxi at the top had a green arrow that was a 3D arrow at the top of the screen that pointed you to your next destination. That was patented. The other thing that they patented was the method and way of having the pedestrians run out of the way of the car, which they actually patented from a previous game. It was like a motorcycle or Harley Davidson game or something. They patented that technology. They use it here as well. But those two things were patented. Now, what that meant was that other games could not use a 3D arrow to show you where you could go, where you needed to go next. And so how game companies got around that was doing this thing that they had called a minimap, which is now basically the game design standard, because the minimap was not patented. But there was actually a big lawsuit between Sega and Fox, because The Simpsons... I think it was Road Rage. I can't remember if it was Road Rage or Hit and Run. But there was the Simpsons game that was very much a parody of Crazy Taxi that had the basically Homer's hand at the top and people running away. And it was an infringement on the patents. And they actually went to the courts and they had settled out of court. So the minimap exists in games because they couldn't do what Crazy Taxi did, which was the first idea of pointing you to your next destination. Fable did the breadcrumbs. Elder Scrolls does the compass. But this was kind of one of the first ones that it did. It expired, though, in 2018. So now you can have a 3D green arrow at the top of your game. 3 years ago, you were then able to start putting that in your game and not just have a mini map. So those are the patents that have already expired. There are a couple other patents that are about to expire that you wouldn't think of as being patentable. But here's one of them. Final Fantasy X, the sphere grid from Final Fantasy X is actually patented. It expires in September of this year. This is the patent text. A settings map is displayed in which two kinds of map points relating to character capability setting, map points for restricting marker position movements, and map points that are irrelevant to the character capability setting are arranged. A marker movement destination is accepted in a movable range corresponding to the first points that have been acquired during progress of a game, and the first points are decreased in accordance with the accepted marker movement destination. Yeah, they're basically talking about the sphere grid. But you'll be able to put a sphere grid in your game, if you're not Square Enix, in September of this year. That is when the patent expires. staying with Final Fantasy, there is another system from another game, Final Fantasy Tactics Advance. So in Final Fantasy Tactics Advance, they have, when you go into a battle, there are these things called laws. And if you do something that goes against the law, a judge will show up and give you a card, a red card, a yellow card, a green card, or something like that. That is actually patented until 2025. A rule applied to a battle is set according to a stage in the progress of the game every time the stage of the game advances. When a battle is started, either a player character or an enemy character that can execute an action is determined. When it is decided that player character can execute the action, a player selects the action of the player character. When the action selected by the player is against a rule violation is recorded. When the result of the action of the player character is also against a rule violation is recorded. When a rule violation is recorded, a predetermined penalty is imposed on the player after the battle ends. That is patented for 4 more years. You cannot do that in any other video game for 4 more years. We're not done, though. We are totally not done yet. Let's go back to Nintendo. This one expires in November of this year. Eternal Darkness for the Nintendo GameCube had a sanity meter. And if your sanity meter went up, the game would just start messing with you. Like, and it would do, like, you know, it would blue screen one time, or it would, like, mess with the volume, or, like, crash your TV, or delete your save or something, or say that it deleted your save. But that was actually patented. A video game and game system incorporating a character's sanity level that is affected by occurrences in the game, such as encountering a game creature or gruesome situation. A character's sanity level is modified by an amount determined based on a character reaction to the occurrence, such as taking a rest or slowing game progress, and or an amount of character preparation. That is, if a character is prepared for a particular occurrence, the occurrence may have little or no effect to the character's sanity level. As the character's sanity level decreases, gameplay is affected, such as controlling game effects, audio effects, creating hallucinations, and the like. In this context, the same game can be played differently each time it is played. I never played Eternal Darkness, but this was like the whole, like, GameCube is kiddie, and then we're like, did you see Eternal Darkness? Have you played Eternal Darkness? It messed with you, and it did a lot of fourth wall breaking stuff as well. SJR Matt says, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't it when games come out with remakes of said games with expiring game patents, then the patent get extended? Well, no, that is trademark. You're thinking of trademark. Patents are, you can patent something before you do it. Patent is when you patent a process of something and you only have exclusive rights to that process for 20 years after you submit that application. So that is why these patents can expire. So we can start seeing games with sanity meters and they don't break patents until November 2021, after November 2021. So it's not a copyright. It's not a trademark. It's a patent and you only get a finite amount of time. And it's basically so you can market and you can profit from your design before other people rip you off. By the way, we're not done. We still have more to go through. So this patent I knew about, this is actually expiring in June of this year. So we get to enjoy this, even though other games have kind of skirted this and have done this themselves. But this is from Project Gotham Racing. And this is, I believe, owned by Microsoft, which is why you're probably saying, but Forza Horizon has this system. Aha, because it's Microsoft. They own the patent on it. It is the kudos system, or the scoring system, a scoring method and system for determining points in a game. Goal-based points are determined as a function of a player achieving goals set by the player that is not predefined by the game and are used to determine the player's status in the game, such as whether the player advances to a next level. Subjective style points are awarded if the player performs feats of style that are not necessarily tasks of the game. Depend on the time of game, may include sliding, spinning, jumping, blocking an opponent, passing an opponent, and avoiding obstacles. Objective skill points may be combined with subjective style points and goal-based points. Alternatively, one of these three types of points may be modified as a function of both or as one or both of the other types of points. So the kudos system is what it was called in Project Gotham Racing, which I loved that series. It is kind of used in the same way with the Forza Horizon series, but once again, Microsoft owns this patent, and so that's why Forza Horizon can do it. But other games can do this starting in June of 2021. We're not done yet, though. We still have some more to go through. This one is expiring in October of 2021. And I didn't really know about this one all that much. But the entire concept of Dynasty Warriors, or the Musou games, that's patented until October of 2021. So this is a character group battle method which can express uneven distribution of attack power, defense strength, and light that is unevenly distributed in a group comprising of a plurality of characters is provided within a predetermined time position period. The position of each character in a three-dimensional virtual space is calculated. The character number of other friends, blah, 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 blah. But basically, it's the way of having a small group of players go up against thousands of enemies at once was patented. They patented the entire genre, basically. And that's why all these warrior games are being done by Koei, because they have the patent on it, and it's probably easier to just have them develop your Hyrule Warriors or your Persona 5 Strikers than it is to license the patent from them, even if they're even willing to license the patent at something that's reasonable. Most of these companies probably are not willing to license at a reasonable rate, which is why you don't see that much licensing around. Konami did get licensing from Guitar Hero and Rock Band from the their patents on music game technology. But not everybody licenses these software patents, or they just wait till it goes to court and then settle it there. So, I ain't done yet. My favorite game of all time is actually patented. I did not realize this, but my favorite game of all time, Katamari Damacy, it's patented. And it is patented until 2026. The actual patent is called the Plurality of Objects. This is a game performing method for executing a game by arranging a plurality of objects comprising of a plurality. I can't even say it. Let's try this again. Plurality. Yes, I can speak. Plurality of objects to be struck and an operation object in a virtual space, controlling rolling and movement of the operation object according to a player's input, and rolling and moving the operation object while sticking the objects which the operation object comes in contact with, comprises setting a plurality of first displacement points capable of displacing only in predetermined radial directions different from each other from a reference point, respectively displacing the first displacement point. Anyway, the entire concept of having other objects attached to a main object, making the main object bigger as you roll over it, is actually patented. And that's why we don't see other games that have this exact concept. Now, there are other games, I think like Donut County is one, where it's the same idea. But remember, they're patenting a process, a specific process of doing something. That's what they're patenting. So as long as you change it just enough that it's not their process, you can do it. So I didn't realize that. But yeah, in 2026, you can make a Katamari Damacy clone, finally. But you can't right now. So don't try it. So expiring in 2029, I'm actually going to be showing video on the stream of a game that I never thought I'd be showing. This is Mass Effect. I think this is actually Mass Effect 2. But the dialogue wheel, the BioWare dialogue wheel that you know and you have seen, that's patented until 2029. A system and method for creating conversation in a computer program such as a video game, a plurality, there's that word again, of classes of dialogue is provided and a conversation segment is assigned to each class. A graphical interface is displayed during operation of the program that provides a choice indicator wherein the choice indicator is a plurality of selectable slots, each associated with the dialogue class. The graphical interface is consistent as to the position of dialogue classes throughout at least a segment of the program. And remember, these patents actually have like diagrams with them. So they actually have the look of the BioWare, that oval dialogue wheel. They actually have that look in the patent. So how can people get around it is just don't do it as a wheel. That's how you can get around it. But it's, and Questper says it's just a fancy menu. Yes, but it's a fancy menu they've patented. And because Mass Effect and like KOTOR and the other BioWare games have such a following, it's very recognizable, and they have patented it, so other games can't come out. And people, is that a BioWare game? Because it looks like a BioWare game. They can't do that because it's patented. Let's talk about a game that just came out this week, and it's patented technology, which is why you're not going to see games that copy this. So there's a new game. It's out on Game Pass right now. It's called The Medium. In 2036, the patent expires for the invention that relates to the method of simultaneous playing in video games designed for a single player. The invention is realized with a computer unit and uses at least one display device and at least one computer device that generates the game image display and at least one game controller controlled by the user. The method of controlling the figure according to the invention is characterized in the player using one controller simultaneously controlling at least two characters, while each of the characters controlled by the same user is displayed simultaneously in a separate viewport, which makes a separate story universe, and the input signal from the controller is transformed by the software synchronization layer, including predefined modifiers specific for a given story universe. So in The Medium, you actually control the same character, but it's in two different... You've got the real world and you've got the spirit world, but when you move, both characters move. That's patented, and no other game can do that until 2036. So if you were looking forward to like the indie games that were going to do their own spin on the narrative, way that the medium works, you're going to be waiting, about 15 years. Now there was a question about the dialogue wheel. Tiger Claw asked, the dialogue wheel, was that around in the since the 90s with Wing Commander? Recall how you can choose dialogue during cutscenes in that. And Questbuster answers, Wing Commander doesn't use the wheel. But in Wing Commander 3, you can choose dialogue options, but it was in list format. And that's why, like, Bethesda games are in list format. Cyberpunk 2077 is in list format. Heavy Rain had doubt hanging, flying through the air. Those are different than the patent. The patent is literally for the dialogue wheel. And actually, if I what I can do try to do here real quick is, because that's the that was the last game I was going to talk about, but I can actually pull up the actual patent for the dialogue wheel and I can show you the diagram. So if I actually pull up the page here, you will actually see that this is the actual patent, and they show you the dialogue wheel. This is what is patented. Not the act of choosing a dialogue option, but rather the act of using a radial wheel to select dialogue and plurality of dialogue choices. That's what they have actually patented, and that is what expires. Let's see. The application was on March 15th, 2007, so its anticipated expiration is October 29th, 2029, because I think it was granted in like 2011 or something. I don't get the it's around 20 years. So Fifth Room says, but if you select weapons, it's fine. And Questbus says, thank goodness they didn't patent equipment wheels. That and that's the thing about patents is you have to be very specific. And so you know this is just about conversations. So that's what they patented. Tiger Claw says, I bet there was a patent for the inventory menu. There actually, I don't think there was, because there's, I mean, these are the patents we know about. If there was a patent for the inventory menu, when I was doing my hour of sourcing all those videos, it would have been in there. I would have found it, but, no, they did not, patent menus and menuing systems. I'm sure somebody's patented a type of menuing system, in software, but anyway, software patents, I think, are here's the thing about software patents. I wish they weren't 20 years. I wish it was 5 years for software patents at the most, because I do agree that, you know, when you invent something in this kind of sense, you should have a little bit of time. If you went through and created it, you should have a little bit of time to be the only one that puts it out. But I don't think 20 years should be there for software patents. I get it for medical stuff because that's really what it's for, because it might take 20 years from the invention of a medical device or a product to get it to the point to where it's accessible to the public through regulatory agencies and stuff like that. HDI Andrew says, that's why I didn't see the Magic the Gathering patent. It expired almost a decade ago. I didn't look. I just thought of this. But one of the things that's patented on the web is, have you ever wondered why you don't have one-click ordering on any site other than Amazon.com? It's because Amazon patented the one-click ordering. They did sue like early on. Some other people were like, that's a great idea. We're going to do one, you know, just one click. No, Amazon sued. I don't even think they licensed out the patent. So that's why every other website has a two-step ordering process, because Amazon has the one-step patent. But I didn't look to see. I didn't look. I just thought of it right now. I didn't look to see if it it expired yet, because that has to have been over 20 years. If it's not, it's pretty soon, I think. But I haven't. I didn't look, and I'm not going to look right now. Fistream says, back in the day, technology moved slower, so 2 years for 20 years for like a stereo, sure, but software in modern times, no. And the Breakman says, the people that came up with the concept of a patent never envisioned anything like a computer. It is basically to protect innovation, because and the reason, like back in the before computer days, in the times when they created patents, it really made sense, because why would you innovate something if you can come up with an idea and somebody down the street could see it and then steal it from you? So really, the idea of patents was to protect innovation, in the sense of you create something and you get the first right of getting it out there and profiting from it, basically, before anybody else can steal it from you. That's what it's for, and I completely understand that and I get that, but software, 20 years is an eternity. And Questor says, it's another example of how the laws have not quite caught up with the speed of technology. So, ladies and gentlemen, that was me talking about other video game patents. The trip down memory lane that is in the past and in the future, and some of those I didn't even know about. So that was my, like, I spent like an hour and a half. So now I have taken you down that entire rabbit hole with me. So I am going to take a very quick music break, and then we will then talk to OLR, but we are going to do a quick music break, I hope the education was good. I know I normally talk about news and stuff, but there really wasn't much news because everybody was talking about stonks, and I didn't want to talk about stonks too much. But we're going to take a quick music break, and then we'll talk to OLR probably about stonks. I don't know. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
I want to ride my chocobo all day. Can't get it out of my head.
Hey, this is Robbie Damon, the voice of all your favorite anime and video games, and you are participating with the Bobby Black Wolf Show. Have fun, baby.
This sounds like you're having fun.
I am having fun. Robbie Damon doing that one. That was done at Dragon Con. Last time we could go to a Dragon Con. I played that also because I am in the finale chapter of Yakuza Like a Dragon. He's actually one of the main characters, and I'm like, that really does sound like it is. It's Robbie Damon. He plays Zhao, by the way, in Yakuza Like a Dragon. So I've been listening to Robbie's voice for a while, and I'm in the finale of it right now. We'll see. I am enjoying it. Yakuza Like a Dragon. It's the dragon is referencing Dragon Quest, which is not a Sega game, but it's a turn-based game in the Yakuza series. It's a lot of fun, and I'm like 55 hours into it is how long I've kind of slow crawled through it. I'm about 55 hours in the finale, and I don't know if I'm level high enough. I'm like level 53, so I don't know. We'll see. I had some scares earlier, but made it through. I did check on the patent that I asked about. Amazon's one-click patent did expire in September of 2017. So it now you can accidentally order things all across the internet by accident. You can do that now as of 2017, but that's when it finally expired. And no, they couldn't extend it because it's a patent. It's not a trademark. Tiger Claw asks, I wonder if Yakuza has a patent. Of what? Like, you got to remember, patenting, you have to patent a very specific process. So it would be a specific system inside Yakuza is what you would patent. Fifth Room says, I'm very early in Yakuza Like a Dragon. I love it so far. It's great. It actually gets better. There is a huge difficulty spike in Chapter 12. So just know that going in. So normally I take calls. I'm not going to be doing that tonight because I talked a lot more about patents than I thought I would. But I did want to rest my voice for just a little bit because that was a lot of talking. But coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do. And we like to check in with them and see what's going on over there. So, Sacramento, are you there?
Hi, I'm here, Bobby. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. So, thankfully, The Daily Show did not patent this, what we're doing right now. So we're not we're not violating Comedy Central's patent right now. So that's good.
No, and if they had, it probably actually would have expired some time ago because I think they started that in the mid-90s. So,
well, the throw between Daily Show and Colbert, that was mid-2000s, so it would still be going, unfortunately.
Oh, I thought there was another show before Colbert, but yeah, it's all good.
I don't know. If they did, then we're fine anyway. They didn't do it. So
yeah,
you're going to be talking about Stonks.
A little bit. Well, yeah, I'm kind of with you. Like, it's not totally gaming news, but I think it's I think gaming cultures certainly had an impact. And you kind of grazed around that there's an element of this where, you know, people really kind of cherish their memories of GameStop, and they're kind of going to bat for GameStop because they heard that these hedge funds were basically making all of this money off of shorting the GameStop stock. And there was a group of people that really kind of organized, you know, what you see on Reddit around basically that we're not going to let you do this to a company that, you know, for better or for worse, because I don't always agree that GameStop is a great company, but a company that we like. And I will admit, GameStop does seem to be taking the steps, you know, certain steps it needs to try to save itself, you know, especially, you know, hiring the guy from, you know, Chewy to make this, you know, that was a big thing. And he had invested some of his own money. And then, of course, Reggie Fils-Aimé being on the board, we all know that one. So it would be interesting to see what the future has in store. But I think there's definitely an element that gaming culture has had an impact on that story. And I know that's kind of an area where when we have 3 hours to talk and you have 1 hour to talk, we get into a little bit more of the culture stuff sometimes.
Yeah. And the Rake Man says, cherished memories of GameStop. I mean, I have cherished memories of Software, et cetera, but that's because that's what was around at that time when I was more the mall age, and people younger than us, when they were going to the mall, GameStop was the store. And that's where all their memories were.
Right. And we were just reminiscing in chat about like Toys R Us having the pull tags and, you know, and you used to have to take that. So that's, you know, because what we remember when we were younger, but for, you know, a certain generation, GameStop is what they remember, for better or for worse, like I said.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I was around, you know, Electronics Boutique, Software, et cetera, Funko Land. Like those were the ones when I was that age. They all got bought by GameStop. So, I mean, you know, by the transitive property, there were GameStop memories. But only because they paid money for it. I liked ThinkGeek a lot, and I know GameStop bought ThinkGeek and then kind of closed them down. So that's, you know, I'm kind of sad about that. I heard like Toys R Us, they closed all their stores again. Or they went bankrupt again.
Oh, did they
again.
All close? I hadn't heard that they reclosed, but unfortunately with the case of the pandemic, that was really a case of, you know, wrong place, wrong time.
So I don't think you have my video feed up anymore, right? I don't think you do.
Sadly, no.
Okay.
I can't. It would be lagged behind anyway.
Yeah. So, but what I'm going to show, and then I can send you pictures of this later. I'll describe, because it's an audio podcast anyway. So I'm going to pretend you're an audio podcast. I was going through some of my old E3 stuff, and I actually found my Konami advertisement for Players Are Jammin' for Konami's Hip Hop Mania. And it is the actual one sheet, and it's on both sides of the Hip Hop Mania cabinet, which for people that, if you know what Beatmania is or Beatmania 2DX, Hip Hop Mania was the US branded version of Beatmania, and it was what they tried to put into arcades in the late 90s. So I can contact Konami of America at 900 Deerfield Parkway in Buffalo Grove, Illinois, if I'm interested.
Don't think it's there anymore. But
I don't
yeah.
think it's there. But it was 79 inches for the height, 45 inches wide, 40.5 inches deep, and 550 pounds.
Yeah, they had this cabinet at Rose Hill Golfland where we were playing DDR a lot. So there was a DDR fourth mix and at one point USA mix, and they had Hip Hop Mania. And I remember sinking a lot of money into that, you know, and it was all it was all the same songs. I don't remember there being anything special.
There
again, my memory's a little fuzzy. It was a long time ago. But it is important to note this was the five key Beatmania, which you kind of addressed there. They did finally try Beatmania 2DX, a home version, much later on, and they did. They just simply called it Beatmania when they released it here in the U.S.
But yeah, so they actually even talk about Hip Hop Mania combines the coolest songs with fun, eye-catching graphics for gameplay that keeps game players coming back for more. Choose from different music categories, including hip-hop, reggae, techno, rave, breakbeat, house, and soul, to name a few. Each type of music is graded according to its difficulty. So, yeah, so I kept this one sheet at the time. And there was another one sheet I got from the same place. So this is the introducing the first dance simulation game ever. So this is the very first one sheet for Dance Dance Revolution in the U.S.
Nice.
Shake your booty on Konami's dance floor was the tagline on this. Unique dance simulation game using your feet. Pick a tune, watch the screen to determine which arrows to step on. Floor arrows will light up to show you the way. The game ends when the dance gauge runs out. Hidden modes for expert dances. Three ways to play, easy, normal, and hard. Only three. No more. No.
Good memories.
I don't know if they've got like a patent number on this, but because sometimes they'll even say like patent pending on this stuff, but they don't actually have it on the one sheet. But yeah, innovative cabinet design, fun and easy to learn gameplay, great dance music, pulsating light show. Like they really
those machines were really something if you you know kind of missed and never really saw those in the arcades in the late 90s. I mean, that's how I got drawn into it. It was like, ooh, pretty lights, flashing sounds, you know, all these things that I got, you know, kind of attracted to that got me into DDR in the first place. And of course the USA mix. I'm assuming that's the USA arcade cabinet, because that would have been about the same time as Hip Hop Mania, because the DDR home version didn't come till quite some time later. I think they really botched on how long they waited on that, but that was always an endless point of frustration with Konami, especially on our program, was how they refused to take the risks in the U.S. the way that they would in Asia, even though there was a dedicated community here to it. But the USA machine was essentially, it was essentially like DDR third mix. I mean, that was basically the interface and everything, but they really gutted the licensed stuff in Japan and kind of put in some different stuff for the, well, it wasn't even really that different. It was just that, well, let's put in Stomp to My Beat, which we'd license for second mix, because that one's on the US radio, so they'll know that one. They didn't really try to get like anything new, unlike the UK.
Yeah, so this is 1998, because the Hip Hop Mania actually has the 1997 copyright date. So I probably got these at E398. It is turn your location into a disco inferno. This was one of the taglines on this. And they got the Stay Cool. So they got all those. It's so yeah, but this is for the arcade cabinets. Just says Dance Dance Revolution.
Yeah.
This one doesn't have the specs on it, like the height, weight, because the artwork subject to change. So this was still like even a concept type thing. Hip Hop Mania, they already had, like, you could buy them for your location, and that was 1997. So I just thought I'd share those. You'll probably watch the video later and see these and stuff, but that's...
Yeah, I'll have to look at that.
They're basically, for the people on the podcast audience, they were really just like, they're 8.5 by 11 sheets of glossy paper. They were ads, and I put them in my E3 bag in 1998, and I finally rescued them from my E3 bag recently, because I had them in my old house. I also had a Bleem sticker for whatever reason. So Bleem from the Dreamcast PlayStation emulator. Yeah. So I had a Bleem sticker. And then I also found, just, you know, because I got this laying here, my name tag from my first job ever. I worked at Blockbuster Video, ladies and gentlemen, and that was my name tag. I actually found it sitting in a box. So here's proof that every job I had in high school died, because I also worked at Media Play, and that doesn't exist anymore either. What's going to be going on in OLR tonight?
quick, go buy all the Blockbuster stock, save the company. So, you know, stocks was dominating the news, but in gaming news, there was a few other headlines. We're going to talk about the release of the Medium. You kind of addressed that during your patent, but the game is being received kind of better, I think, than folks' expectations. We'll talk about that. Speaking of Konami, lots of rumors going around about their games division, so we're going to kind of clarify some of that tonight. The Konami games division isn't going away, whether you wanted it to or not. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Some similar news out of Sega. We'll get into that, too. And then I don't know if we're ever going to get a decent game out of Amazon Game Studios because we've got a lot of issues going on over there. We'll talk about all of that tonight.
All right. And we will both be here next week, right?
Yep, we'll be here. No, there's nothing else going on. Come watch us.
Nothing else of importance going on in my life either. So we're going to be here. We're going to have a party. We're going to have our own party with chips and dip and other things. All right. Orange Sounds Radio is up next. Thanks so much.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back. Like I said, I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. So join us live here directly. Breakman actually asked, is it just me or has Bobby's room looked less cluttered? There's actually a new bookshelf. So there's actually that's also why like I was pulling out some of this stuff because there's a brand new bookshelf here, and so there used to be only two bookshelves behind me, now there are three, but you can't really see what's on them because it's nighttime. So I'm gonna be buying LED light kits so I can be like every other Twitch streamer and have LED lighted bookshelves behind me because that's what you do on Twitch, right? It might be like a week or two before I do that, but it'll be happening. It'll be coming. Next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us live. Or you can be on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord. Give your comments on patents, or if you have some patents that you want to rage about with other people, feel free. That's where you can do it. And actually, I found like the main Middle Ear story was from our Discord server as well. So twitch.tv/BobbyBlackWolf, facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf, twitter@BobbyBlackWolf, instagram@BobbyBlackWolf. That is where I am. Or you can over at vognetwork.com. You can see all the podcasts that we have over there. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet, but we would not be able to make this show work without the help of the chatters. So I want to thank Fifth Dream, who resubscribed. Thank you so much for the resubscription. He's resubscribed for 22 months. He says it's been almost a year. Time sure does fly. There's that. And then that's what I was looking for. I haven't played with my soundboard. I wait till the end of the show to play with the soundboard. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and hit this. And this, we're going to play the music out. I'm going to hit the music button so I can then leave and say, wash your hands, wear a mask, take care of each other. And I'll see you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.